This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome back. It's 7:30. You're listening to Gen Next on Joy 94.9. Just remember, if you want to get your opinion out there, 0427 Joy 949.
Or on air at joy.org.au.
If you want to email, yeah, you can do that.
You can do that, you know, if you're the type who...
Yeah, we welcome all people on our show.
You know, smoke signals probably won't reach us, but you can do our best.
You can give it a go.
We don't discriminate against choice of mediums.
Exactly.
Although carrier pigeon, the windows are closed, so...
Yeah, you might not have much luck there. Well, look, sometimes the internet isn't the safest place for LGBTI people.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. That's what I've got here anyway. That can be true in video games too. I mean, especially Call of Duty is really well known for teenagers just spewing homophobic slurs all over the place. But do you guys think there's a bigger problem in the gaming community, or is it just another case of growing pains?
It's a bit of both. I think a lot of the time it's the loud people who get heard.
The vocal minority.
Yeah, it's the vocal minority. They're the ones who are loud. They're the ones who are brass. They're the extroverts who think everyone cares about what they think, even though they're completely wrong about so much. And personally, I don't play a whole lot of online multiplayer, not because I've had issues with people being crap and things like that and just any abuse, but I'm just not a fan. It's an issue with the anonymity of the situation. Like, there's an issue with just humanity and our society in general where people will choose to be not as pleasant as they could be.
So you think it's not specifically homophobic or transphobic, but it's just a case of how people are when they're anonymous?
It's an issue with our society and how they won't filter themselves if they can get away with it. So, because you have issues with sexism as well, and that's a huge problem, and it's possibly sexist quips and jabs and things are repeated probably more than homophobic and transphobic ones,
but they're all related, they all tie together.
Exactly.
Online gaming is not a safe space for women.
No, it is
really unpleasant to play games as women. One of the main reasons being that women seem to have to prove themselves as gamers for them to be taken seriously in any of these sort of formats.
And still often won't be taken seriously?
No, they won't. And one of the other big problems is, and this is a reason why I don't play many online games, and one of the first things that I do when I play an online game is to mute all of the people who are talking. Not everybody has a microphone and not everybody is actually talking online. There are plenty of people who are playing online games who are really nice, friendly people. I've had some great games with people before. Unfortunately, it seems to be the younger generation that they get their microphones. They're the ones who love to be heard. They're the ones to love to say.
Yeah. And who have the worst things to say.
And they have the worst things to say. This is an area where I have a lot of problems, and that is don't buy your kids these games. They are MA and R-rated games, and they shouldn't be played by these people. The ones who are...
Look, definitely not if you're leaving them unattended as well.
No. And the ones who are playing these games and are actually treating gay and trans people with a lot of respect are usually the older audience for these games. Like I said, I've had some great conversations with people while playing these games, and afterwards everyone's just like, yeah, good game, you know, good tactics, good this, good that, and it's usually the older people.
Yeah, we did get a text in from someone saying, I'm really interested in this discussion. I'm glad that gaming is better representing queer people, but the gaming community still seems like a pretty horrible place to be a woman, as it ties into this discussion. It's 2014 and criticising the community still results in rape and death threats. If it's true that half of gamers are women, why still the misogynistic harassment and abuse? It appears to be a community that doesn't want me in it at all. I don't feel like the industry and those employed in it, who are still overwhelmingly cis men, are doing much to welcome women and stop the violence. Great show, people. So that, often being a woman in a gaming environment, just you're made to feel like, what are you doing in the boys' club?
I really love World of Warcraft, okay? I've played I played 3,000 hours of that game. I love it to bits. People don't believe that you're a girl. For a start. They don't believe it. And it's especially bad when you're a trans woman, because if they try to go, oh, well, what's your voice then? Then you're like,
yeah, I have a really big problem with that. I choose not to have my microphone on most of the time now, because when I do play, people just assume because of my voice that I'm a guy straight away. And, you know, online gaming is such a quick, you know, you're in a game and then you're out of it, especially if you're playing something like Call of Duty. You don't want to be having that conversation with people where you're just like, actually, I identify as female, because you know you're just going to get
teabagged,
either abuse or, you know, you're just going to get all this crap from people.
Gaming? Gaming's a unique medium in that we're giving people who have very little full life experience a forum to voice their not so progressive
and
opinions.
It's a very public space.
Yeah,
it's very
with public, a degree of anonymity.
Yeah, anonymous as well, and it can be direct and with little to no repercussions. So people don't learn that their behavior is incorrect. So it's something we haven't encountered before in society, because it's the first time people are able to do this sort of thing. You didn't have a forum before if you didn't have the life experience or anything like that. You could yell on a street corner, but people will think you're mad. But now you're yelling at people who have to listen to you.
I definitely agree with the life experience thing, because, you know, when I was in high school and college and all that, I didn't know the first thing about gay people or trans people. I initially came out as gay because I didn't know that you could be bisexual. How repressed is that? But then, you know, the more you do in life, the more you get out there and the more you expose yourself to different communities, the more you get to learn how to either filter yourself or understand these people and their ways of life. Whereas people who sit at home playing video games online with their microphones at a very young age aren't exposing themselves to those communities as much.
Exactly.
And again, I agree. It's life experience, and they need to actually get out there and learn a bit more about these communities.
On the converse as well, how gaming works allows us to have actual communities of different people from all over the place. Mm. So you may encounter some people who aren't great and who are being terrible, and that can happen often. But you can also use gaming as a medium to form wider communities with people that you have things in common with who are understanding. And it's a great thing for people in regional areas as well, where that attitude that we see online from random strangers, they see from the people who are around them, but they can escape that and use gaming to find communities that they are accepted in.
But there is also the idea, as I mentioned before, that people who say, oh, in gaming I want to escape the real world, which is a real world that includes homosexuality, bisexuality, gender diversity, that kind of thing. People who feel like their ideal world wouldn't have to include that, and they don't want to acknowledge it. That's one thing that's fairly problematic. I made the mistake of looking at the comments for a few articles about Dragon Age and people saying, oh, if the game's going to be all about same-sex romances, I'm returning it. Because apparently there's nothing else of the game. No. Just gay.
Just
those,
gay.
Those comments I just can't comprehend it. Yep. Like, oh, it's not realistic to have gay characters or acceptable gay characters in a medieval setting such as that. They say, we can't present people like that because they would be ostracized and abused in such a society. Okay,
isn't that the idea of fantasy?
So it's not believable, but dragons flying around is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's a fantasy setting, and BioWare actually goes out of their way to add it into their lore exactly how LGBT people are treated and at the different levels of their society and in the different regions as well. Like, I can't remember the name of the other city off the top of my head where... And I'm lost everything, so I'm going to pass it on to someone else.
It happens when you start to say something and then your words just
suddenly
go.
Suddenly forgot all the nouns in the English language.
I've done that many times.
We do tend to focus on one thing when people are sensationalising an aspect of a game that they want to complain about. Does anybody remember when the first Mass Effect game came out and there was this huge furor over the sex scene, which is something that wasn't happening much in gaming up until then?
Yep.
And that's all anybody focused on was, this game has a sex scene in it.
And never mind all the rest of the game.
Yeah, let's all get this game banned. Let's boycott this game completely. And that was a, opposite gender, like a heterosexual sex scene.
And the homosexual sex scenes completely fell under the radar.
Yep.
But it does seem as though a lot of people are saying, oh, this game has options that are, you know, not 100% of this game is aimed to cater to me. I refuse to play it. Even if...
Yeah, because they expect the whole game to be aimed at everything in the game to be for them.
And if there is anything that doesn't focus on them, they will have childlike tantrums.
Well, one of the problems there is also that it's a vicious cycle. It's what I was talking about before. Game companies don't want to take risks and put more of these elements into games, so gamers are expecting their games not to have them at all.
Yes.
So the more they get used to their games not having it, the more it surprises them and shocks them when they actually do have it in there.
And to move on a little bit from the online aspect, I was thinking about like gaming groups in the offline world. Think about when I was in first year uni or second year, I went along to my then university's gaming group. I went there once. I was both the only woman and the only queer person. And the responses that I got from the dudes varied from staring at my chest to quizzing me about minor details of games to make sure I wasn't one of those fake geek girls. There were finger quotes going on there.
Yeah.
You know, being a woman and or being queer in a lot of gaming environments in person, you know, there's less cruelty because people don't have the mask of anonymity, but you're still not taken very seriously in a lot of cases.
This issue certainly isn't unique to gaming. It's an issue with geek culture all over.
Definitely.
Very much so.
And it happens in all aspects of geek culture. And I think it's something that we're transitioning through at the moment. And we are getting better and better because it was such a male-dominated sector. And it's branching out. We're having more people. And it's becoming more visible that there's more... There's a rainbow of people that play games and want to get into geek culture. Like, I have a friend, Meg, who works in retail, and she wears a Star Trek badge on her uniform and gets quizzed constantly by random shoppers
because
her knowledge of Star Trek.
But if a man was to wear that, even if he knew nothing about Star Trek, he would quite likely not be questioned. But the whole idea that geek culture is reserved for men and women who are involved are just trying to get the men or get attention.
I have noticed that in some of my circles that have, you know, the next generation, not that wasn't a Star Trek reference, sorry. People tend to be a little bit better. I feel like we are getting through that stage. Look, we're running out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, Morgan and Robin. It was really great having you in the studio and sharing your opinions.
Yeah, it was great to be here. Yeah.
And how can people find out a bit more about Melbourne Gamers?
Through Facebook is the best bet. So facebook.com/groups/Melbourne Gamers.
That's with a Y.
Yes.
It is Gamers.
G-A-Y-M-E-R-S.
And it's a pun.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. So log on, have a look. You're free to join. We have meets and events all the time. So I'm one of the admins. If you want more information, you can just look me up. I have a bit of a public presence, so you should be able to find me pretty easily.
And it's not just video games. There are tabletop events as well for the board gamers out there.
Yes.
Video game, tabletop, board game, card game, pen and paper. Anything you can think of. We're all into geek culture, so... What do you
awesome.
Like?
And it's thanks
also,
again.
It's also for trans people, not just for gay people. Yes. That's the name.
We take the LGBTC part seriously.
Very much so.
Thanks so much for joining us in the studio tonight.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
And if anyone has anything to add, ask, contribute to the conversation, you can always text in at 0427-JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.